I'll see how all of this goes here. But I'm going to take us back around to something I already started on. I may end up finishing it here this morning. So let's go to Matthew chapter number 8. I've got a lot of reading to do. Excuse me. A lot of reading to do. But I'll read two verses of scripture, then let you be seated. And then we'll just hop through and do a little bit of a recap so you know where I'm going. And then we'll launch off into some more of the Word here this morning. Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Compassion, and that's what I'm going to teach about, talk about. I believe that we're not near where we need to be in understanding the depth and the magnitude of this subject. I myself included, as a matter of fact, I have been on several occasions convicted, moved, talked to by God about this subject. And so I bring it back to us again. And I'm going to take a little bit more time and go into some more stories in the Word of God. But compassion is the very essence of Jesus' mission. It was the whole purpose of his mission was compassion. For God so loved the world. And when it says the world, it's not the world as the earth or the cosmos, but it's his creation. For God so loved his creation, his humanity. You understand that God claims them all?
Yeah.
Right. Sure.
No matter how bad we segregate, no matter how bad we separate and put people into different labels, God calls them all his humanity.
Yeah.
It's all his creation. Every single one of them. And he's moved with compassion by the needs of humanity. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. But when he saw the multitudes, when he saw, can I use the word humanity? When he saw the human element there that was so lacking, that was in such a great need, he was moved with compassion on them because, again, he saw their humanity. He saw their weakness. He saw their frailty. He saw their inability. Amen. And they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I will say it again, as I said the last time, and probably not the last time even now, but we need to begin to look at people in a different way, not as sinners, but as sheep.
Yeah.
I believe it was, I can't remember who said it exactly. I can't remember the apostle that said it, or maybe it was even maybe it was even God when he was speaking to Paul. But he said, Brother Saul. He called him brother before he was even really a brother.
Yeah.
And some people are against it. Don't call them brother. Don't call them sister because they're not this and they're not that. I'm going to tell you, there was something that was going on in Saul's life before he became Paul. And that was one of the things that had happened. And I noticed that one day that sometimes people get all into semantics and get all bent out of shape on certain things that God don't care anything about. And
right.
I won't get into another subject that I've got to be careful not to get too deep in, but that's a pharisaical attitude.
Right.
The Pharisees, but they were all about crossing T's and dotting I's. God was all about healing and saving and delivering and seeing people healed.
Right.
Seeing their frailties ministered unto. Amen. And so we go on a little bit further. So I'm going to go back there again. I don't want to see them as sinners. I want to see them as sheep, having no shepherd. And it's my responsibility to bring them into the fold. It's my responsibility to see that transformation happen for them to become that sheep. But even though you understand this is another place that Jesus doesn't see them, he sees them as sheep, but they're not sheep. He sees them as sheep, but they're not sheep yet, are they? No, they don't have a shepherd. They have nobody to care for them. They have nobody to love them. They have nobody to minister to their needs, but he's already calling them sheep. So we need to get in a revelation and understanding and not be calling people necessarily in general when we talk about the sinner. And I know the scripture talks about the sinner, but I think we need to be careful in what and how we say that. And we may even use that terminology because Jesus did from time to time. But then we need to look at it in its context also. Oh, God help me. I don't want to get off in context. Now, Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 14. Amen. Matthew 14 and 14 said, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sickness. There's something that goes beyond just having compassion. There's some of us in this room that definitely could say we have compassion on others. But then my next question is, then why aren't they being healed by your hands?
Right.
Because compassion ought to move you to do.
Yeah.
Real compassion puts you forward into action.
Yeah.
It doesn't get you to sit back and say, oh, I see that need, but do nothing about it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, praise the Lord. Oftentimes, many times, it is repeated over and over that the Lord was moved with compassion. And we can go through a bunch of examples, and I probably will at a later date. Nevertheless, I want to just read to us the definition again of compassion. It is deep awareness and sympathy for the sufferings of others. Humane quality of understanding the suffering of others and wanting to do something about it. Not just wanting to do something about it, but doing something about it. Amen. It comes from an original French word that meant simply to suffer with. How many of us have suffered with somebody else? How do we suffer with somebody else? Let me say this. I said it last time. I'll say it again. It takes great courage to stand by somebody in a difficult situation. Because it's easier to distance yourself from somebody. I have a couple of friends that went through some very tragic things, difficult things, where there was some slander, where there was some gossip, there was some horrible things being said about them that were not true, destroying their reputation, destroying their family, so on and so forth. I stood next to them. As a matter of fact, I was the first one to have the man come and preach in a pulpit after all of this had come down. He had preached in this pulpit. I'm not going to tell you who it is, been years ago, and it don't even matter. But I was the first one to have and get him back into the pulpit and begin to preach again. It was several years later. He said, Brother Newman, he said, I want to thank you. I owe it to you. You put hope back into me, and you gave me another chance. You believed in me when so many others had tossed me away, had tossed me aside. I'm not pouring sugar on my head. I'm just telling you that this is a type of compassion that we need to have. But it takes courage, because I tell you what, I lost some other people or acquaintances that I call them now. I thought they were my friends. But when I stood by him as my friend and I did what was right, they forsook me also. But you know what? I don't need friends like that. You don't need friends like that. But you need friends of integrity that will have the courage to stand up for what's right, to stand up for what's true. Amen. And no matter what anybody else says, there's some compassion that goes into that.
Amen.
All right.
It takes compassion to stand with somebody when they are in distress. Compassion takes a serious reality check in our lives. Man was made, I want you to hear me again, man was made in the image of God. And when we get the Holy Ghost, we have God on the inside of us. I'm not going to go into length there. But because God is on the inside of us, through the power of His Spirit, there is a seed of compassion that is in our lives because of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Now, that seed of compassion, that seed that is planted there because we take on part of Him, we take on the characteristics of Jesus, we ought to, or likewise, should be compassionate to everyone. Now that ain't now. See, I got a lot of resounding amen on a few statements back, but now I say that one, and there's a few fuddy-duddy amens. Well, the truth of the matter is, if you got the Holy Ghost, you ought to have the same exact compassion that Jesus did.
Amen.
Yeah. And so let's reality check ourselves there and say, really, what you need to say is not, do I have compassion? What you need to say is, do I have the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Because that's where it starts, is with the Holy Ghost. You're not going to have compassion outside of the Holy Ghost. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some that do have compassion to a degree, so on and so forth. But you're not going to have the compassion that Jesus had unless something gets on the inside of you.
Right.
You have a spiritual change in your life. Amen. Matthew, I read this last one before a couple weeks ago when I preached on this, talking about giving to the hunger and to the thirsty and to the stranger and to the naked. And he said, remember, it was a separating of the sheep and the goats. Remember how profound that is to understand that Jesus used this terminology? He was separating sheep and goats. He wasn't separating sinners and saints. Those that knew God and those that didn't know God. It was sheep and goats. It was just like this right here. Who's a sheep and who's a goat?
Right.
Because the same question was asked to the goats, that they asked the same question. Well, when did we see you hungered? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you naked? And he said, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it not unto me. When you saw somebody in need and you didn't do it, you didn't do it unto me. So it wasn't talking about those on the outside. It was talking about those on the inside. And so a rule that he used, and this is just before he goes and faces the Pharisees and so on and so forth, is taken into captivity. Understand this. This is powerful. And I've continued to dwell on it just because it is so deep and so powerful. I've continued to go on it over and over again. The one he said, enter into everlasting life. Why? Because of how you treated the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the widow, so on and so forth. And he told those to go into eternal darkness because of the same thing, of how they treated the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, and the homeless. He used that as a determining factor on a heaven and hell issue. So what I am saying today, this morning, is whether you have compassion or not is a heaven or hell issue.
Right.
Amen.
Whether you celebrate Christmas or not is not a heaven or hell issue.
Amen. Right.
But having compassion is a heaven or hell issue.
Right.
People want to make heaven and hell issues out of stuff that's done.
Right.
That has no meaning. That has no purpose. Let's get back to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. I want to be saved. And in order to be saved, I must be a compassionate person to those in need.
Amen.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
He determined that there. Now, we'll take you a little bit further. We are missing today in our spiritual character this thing that we call empathy or compassion. This is, I believe that most of it is due to distraction. And here's or our agenda. Here's why I want to say that. I want to go to Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 25. Self-centered living will be one of our greatest reasons for eternal rejection. Let me say it again. Self-centered living will be one of the greatest reasons for eternal rejection.
Amen.
You cannot live self-centered. You cannot live selfish. You cannot live self-righteous.
Right.
It's damning. It's destructive. It'll destroy you. All right? So let's go on here in Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Smart guy. Okay, who wants to be a smart guy? Nobody wants to be smart right now. Okay, well, we'll just leave that alone then. And tempted him. A smart guy that's educated and knows everything and studied his Bible. Knows more than Jesus. Huh? Stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? All right, Mr. Smarty Pants, you tell me what's written in the law.
Right.
Huh? What's written in the law? And how do you read it?
Well, yeah.
He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself. I wonder what happened here. All of a sudden, Jesus sort of said, you've said right. But why did he have to come back and start justifying himself? Anybody ever ask that question? Why did he come back and start justifying himself? Because I think that after he let the word out of his mouth, he realized, I got it all right, but that neighbor part. I think that I feel that somebody came and popped up in his mind that he didn't love. That he was at odds with. Because he started the conversation again. Jesus did it. He started it by saying, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Oh man, you just got yourself in a world of trouble, buddy. But I believe by the word of his own mouth, when he read the scripture, he was convicted.
Right.
Just like many of us are. But what do we do with that conviction?
Right.
What do we do? How do we act with that conviction? Do I continue to try to justify myself and find some of the scripture to wiggle my way out?
Yeah, come on.
Or do I take it? Now let me give you an example. I'll give you one that's more current. Because some of y'all just think this is the Bible and that's old stuff, that's old school. So I'll give you one more recent, okay? Me. I'm frustrated. I've taught Bible study after Bible study and I don't see anything coming to fruition. I've given my life. I've given my finances. I've given my time and energy. And I just don't see what it's worth. And so I say, I'm fully on it all. I'm done. I'm tired. None of y'all would act like that. But I did. So, just so you know.
Come on.
Are y'all so precious?
Come on.
So I acted like that. And then this whole compassion thing started to tick in my brain. Well, that's not very compassionate. What if God just quit on you? And all these things start coming back at me, just one right after the other after the other. Well, I said, yeah, but God, what about the store? What about the scripture that says, except you build the house, they that labor in vain? I used that scripture to try to get out of being compassionate. I used that very scripture to try to get out of being compassionate and empathetic towards those that really do need help. Now, God, if you ain't going to build the house, they labor in vain. I ain't laboring in vain, so you just do it yourself. Well, guess what? You can use the scripture anything you want to mess your own self up. You can use scripture to your own destruction.
Amen.
You can make it say what you want it to say.
Amen.
Okay, so now that that helped everybody, and now you can say, pick on me day, and got your attention back to a modern day scenario, then I've done that. I've done what this lawyer did. I didn't say who is my neighbor, but in going through all of this, I have tried to wiggle my way out of truly being compassionate. Don't ever forget. Didn't Jesus say, verily, verily? Didn't he say, repeat himself over? Sometimes you guys think I'm crazy. I'm just trying to mimic him. I'm not crazy. I'm just trying to, because sometimes it doesn't connect. Don't ever forget.
Did you get that?
That it was 3 years that Jesus worked with those disciples and they still didn't know who he was.
Right.
Through all of the heartache, through all the miracles, through all the ups and downs, through all the stuff that they went through, they saw Jesus raise the dead. They saw him do all those things. Y'all remember me preaching this?
Oh, yeah.
And he still had compassion on them.
Yeah.
Some of us don't even have that much compassion on our own children. Yeah. We don't know what it is to be compassionate. We don't know what it is to be long-suffering. Do you realize compassionate has to do with being long-suffering?
Right, yeah.
To suffer with?
Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah.
Well, I know I got the right subject now because it's quiet. I can see some of your faces twisting and turning and justifying. Well, but she this and she did and he did and this and that and the other. And that's just what the lawyer did. Trying to wiggle his way out of the truth that was before his face. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, and leaving him half dead. He was messed up. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Oh, righteous man. Whoo, man, he's going to heal this guy. And when he saw him, he passed by on them. What? You got to be kidding me. Not a preacher. A preacher wouldn't do that. Yeah, he would. He passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. Amen. Another religious man. When he was at the place, came and looked on him. At least he stopped and looked. I kind of wonder, the priest, he just walked on totally on the other side. He's like, I see him laying in the ground. I'm not even going to look. I'm going to act like I don't see him. Just like some of us do when we see somebody else in need.
Right. Yes.
Go around the block just so we can miss him. Huh? Well, then the Levite comes by, and he looks. Man, you messed up. You are messed up. Oh, no. Still breathing, so I can just leave. Huh?
Uh-huh.
Oh, they're still breathing, so... Oh, the scripture comes. Where there's breath, there's still hope. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Use that scripture. Well, hope. Pray for you. I'm going to get it done. No, but a certain Samaritan, a half-breed, a mix, a mutt, a nobody, an outcast, a worthless individual, somebody that the Gentiles wouldn't have nothing to do and the Jews wouldn't have nothing to do, right smack in the middle, they were just a mess. The Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? He had what?
Compassion.
He had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. Please, thank you.
Where was I?
Compassion on him. And went to him, and he bound up his wounds. He stopped the bleeding. pouring oil and wine and set him on his own beast. He said, hey, come on, get in my car. Yeah. And he brought him to the inn and he took care of him. Mm-hmm. This man had an agenda. He didn't have time for this mess. Right. Ain't nobody got time for that.
All right.
Come on now.
Come on. There's a lot of us that see a need and we go, I don't have time for that. Man, the conviction is heavy in here right now. Oh, I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time to help them. I ain't got time to stop by that roadside. How many times do we pass by and we see some? Now I'm going to tell you, here's my rule of thumb. I see someone with a flat tire and there's a dude out there, I just keep on driving. There's a woman out there, I stop. I'm going to help her out. But the dude, you got to have enough brains. If you ran out of gas, shame on you. A woman, okay, I helped that one too.
Dig a hole out.
But some of them guys, they're just plain knuckleheads.
Oh, yeah.
But them ladies, they need a little bit of help. Huh?
Amen.
See, y'all don't think I'm doing this right. I just got some bonus points.
Come on.
So he takes him and he takes care. I got time. I want to make time. I may not have time. I got an agenda. I got a place to be. But he was on a journey. What if he was on vacation? Ain't nobody got time to help somebody else while they're on vacation. He's on a journey. He's got something to do. He's obviously got somewhere to go, does he not? Whether he's on vacation, whether he's going to a conference, whatever it is, he's got something on his agenda. But he stops everything. And he takes care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. In other words, he spent all day with him and all night with him, making sure everything was okay before he left. And then he gave the innkeeper enough money to take care of him.
Yeah.
And then when I come back this way, when I'm done with my business, I'm going to come back and check on him.
Right.
I'm going to see how he's doing.
Yeah.
Hmm. Which now... Jesus says, which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?
Right.
Which one? And he said, he that shewed mercy on him. It's amazing to me, he didn't say the Samaritan. He was so legalistic that he wouldn't even let the word come across his mouth. Because he still had so much animosity against them, he's not even going to say that. The one that had mercy. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. I don't know, but it seems to me, because of God and his poetic nature, I just wonder if that lawyer wasn't that Levitical priest or that Levite. Or if he didn't have something to do in a similar situation. Because isn't it funny how so many people can judge a situation and then they have the same situation happen to them and they judge it so differently.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. That's a true preacher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, when it's theirs, oh, man. Plow.
Right.
But when it's yours, oh, well, you know.
That's
good.
True. Yeah.
No,
that's good.
Hair pin drop.
Oh, God help me. You see, some of y'all think that I'm preaching this to you or at you, but you don't understand what I've been going through on this end way before I'm giving it to you. I've gone over this over and over and over. I have prayed over and over. I have been convicted and knocked upside the head so many times. Thinking, God, that was... And you know what? I started to get to my head because I'm seeing things that I'm walking by and I'm going, now that wasn't very compassionate. Go back and fix that. But until it gets in, and it gets in, sometimes it takes more than once or twice. Sometimes it takes a lot to get it inside of us to really realize the nature that is in us that isn't the nature of God.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That Good Samaritan was an absolute contradiction to every Jewish mindset. And I believe that's why he would not even let the words come out of his mouth, the Samaritan. Because Jesus did identify each of them. He said a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. Why couldn't he identify? Because the Jewish mindset was so anti-Samaritan. They had no dealings with them. They don't want nothing to do with them. It was almost, as a matter of fact, I believe in one, what do they call them things? They're for smart people. Then I look at them every once in a while and I close them because I go, oh, that's too big.
Commentary.
A commentary, yeah. One commentary said that when somebody would say Samaritan and use that word, it was actually a vulgar slang. It was like calling somebody else a dirty word of their pedigree or their nationality or whatever. Pretty crazy, huh? So, again, let's look at this. Notice how compassion did not leave any room for selfishness. Compassion cost him. It cost him time. A day and a night. He spent with him, helping him. It cost him resources. And then there was an emotional investment when he says, when I come back, I'm going to check on him.
Right. Yeah.
When I come back this way. Now, I don't know. I would think that some of us, because of our nature, including myself, would go, I did my part. Let somebody else do theirs.
Come on now.
Huh? Oh, yeah. But no, and he could have taken a different route. Said, well, you know what? I'm just not going to come back by this way. I was actually going to go up here. Then I was going to take this turn. I was going to go back to this city. And then it's going to be way out of my way if I come back by here. Mm-hmm. He had already made up his mind. I'm coming back by here to check on him. He made an investment in this individual, and now he's going to come back and check on his investment.
Yeah, right.
How much is a soul worth?
Yeah.
Right.
Can anybody answer that question?
Can't put a price on it.
Can't put a price on it, can you? But we do, don't we?
Yes.
We be honest?
Yes.
We put prices on souls all the time.
Right.
Yeah. We do. But we say it, and it's easy for us to say, you can't put a price on a soul. They're worth everything, are they?
Right.
Then why do you turn your nose down because they're all tatted up?
Right.
And you look at them. Or you grab your kids and you go, oh, don't go around that person. Get ready.
Yeah.
What do you got? You have the Holy Ghost or not? Say, well, you can't be foolish. Oh, yeah, go ahead. There you go, justified, Mr. Lawyer. We're all guilty of it, okay? I understand that we're all guilty of it. You said, well, why are you preaching this? We're all guilty of it. Because we got to get unguilty of it.
Right.
And we got to look at them and not look down at our nose at them. And then, Jesus. Because we do. We already judge them. We already look at them. We make gestures. We make comments. We say things. We do things. We act certain ways.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
Our body language speaks
absolutely.
Volumes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Speaks volumes. I got an investment there. And I'm going to check on my investment. Because that soul is worth a lot. That soul has value. That soul has that. We must see souls with value. Not number. Not a number value. True compassion will have a person denying himself.
Yeah.
All right. Two women lived together. They're both harlots. One had a boy child. A couple days later, another one has one. One night, they both go to sleep. One of the mothers rolls over on the baby, smothers the baby, kills the baby. The mother that switched the baby, the dead one, grabs the live one, sticks the dead one into her bosom, and gets up in the morning, and the one that has the dead baby under her looks at that baby and goes, "No, that's not my baby. That's my baby. You switched it in the middle of the night. Give me my baby back." No. Everybody know the story?
Yeah.
So they get to fight. So what do? They take it to the king. What does the king say? The king says, "Bring me a sword. Bring me a sword. Let's cut this baby in half. You can have half. You can have the other half." The real mother stood up. Why? Because she had compassion. Because she doesn't want to see anything suffer unnecessarily.
Right.
She doesn't want to see any heartache or any pain. People with real compassion will do everything that they can, even if it costs them denying themselves.
That's right.
She denied herself her own child so that child could live.
Right.
That is real compassion.
Yep.
And that's where the wisdom of the king came in and said, "Give them to her."
Yep.
That's the real mother.
Yeah.
Because she would never let her baby die.
Right.
She would deny her own feelings, deny her own mother instincts, deny everything so that the baby could live.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Now that's passion. That's compassion.
Yes.
Do we have that?
That's good.
Come on now.
Do we have that? God help me.
Yes.
I know I don't. I'm working on it, Lord.
Yes.
Give me a little bit more time. Let me work on it some more. Talk to me from your word. Let me get it right, God.
Hallelujah.
Give me another opportunity.
Lord.
I don't want to look at them that way. I don't want to look at them cross-eyed. I don't want to sneer at them. God, help me.
Help me. Yes. Give me. Help.
Jesus. Luke 15. Verse 20. He rose and he came to his father's house. Story of the prodigal son. We know where he's at, right? Right here we know that he finally made up his mind. I'm sitting here in a pig's pen. My father has many hired servants that have bread enough to eat. Everything's good at daddy's house. I'm getting out of the hog pen, right? That's where we're at, all right? And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And what?
Compassion.
He felt compassion. He felt compassion. And ran and embraced him. Stopped right short and went, "Oh my Lord, you stink. You are so filthy, disgusting. Get your hind into the house and clean up." He said, "Who?" Yeah. No. He ran. The scripture said he fell off.
Right.
He didn't care.
Oh, that's going to get my jacket dirty. I'm going to have to take that to the dry cleaners if I hug that person. If I sit next to them, that's going to rub off on me. I don't want that. You wear too nice clothes if that's the case.
Yeah.
If you don't want to sit by a stinky bum, you're wearing too nice of clothes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Amen.
Yeah.
You think too much of yourself.
Amen.
No, he ran and he fell on him and he didn't care if he had pig feces all over him.
Amen.
His boy was home, he was alive, he was safe, and he was coming back to daddy's house.
Amen.
That's all that mattered. And what was the very first thing that he felt more than anything?
Compassion.
Compassion.
Compassion. Compassion, I'm going to tell you, it was compassion that drove him, and it was compassion that had him sitting on the porch.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Day after day, week after week, looking for his boy.
Right.
Yes.
It was compassion. It was compassion. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said unto him, hey, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Just stop all that. And he threw a robe on him. Why did he throw a robe on him? He wanted nobody to see him in a nasty condition that he was in. I want to cover you up as quickly as possible. I want to give you my authority. I want to give him. He puts a ring on his finger. I'm giving you my authority. You're my son. You've done some dumb things, sure, but you're my son. You know. Put shoes on his feet. He says, "Bring the fatted calf." The fatted calf. Bring the fatted calf.
There you go.
There we go. Love this, love that. And kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. Let's have a party.
Right. Yes.
Let's have a party.
Right.
She's home. He's home.
Yeah.
For thy son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. And they began to celebrate. Have this party. Have all that. And the eldest son, he looked and he's like, what in the world's all that noise? What are they having a party for? When the servant comes out, hey man, your brother's back. Come on, we're having a party. The fatted calf's on the spit right now. It's getting barbecued and basted right now. We're going to have a good old time. Yeah. And the eldest son gets an attitude.
Right, yeah.
Why does he get a fatted calf? Why does he get all this? What's going on? He says to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed at any at thy hand thy commandment, and yet thou gavest me, and that thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, I can just see him saying it disdainfully, as soon as this kid comes, as soon as your son comes back, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. He was going to make sure his daddy knew what he's doing.
Right.
He brings out all of his faults. Right. He brings out all of his failures. Daddy's trying to cover him, and the eldest son's trying to bring him out.
Yeah.
Right. Man, that'll preach good.
Yes.
That'll preach good.
Why is it that Jesus wants to cover our sins, but we want to talk about them?
Right.
How is it that one will fall and somebody says, hey, we're going to just, hey, you repented, let's move on, leave that alone. And then somebody else, hey, what's the deal with them? And they got to talk about it.
That's
that elder sibling mentality that wants to know all the juicy details. Wants to know the sin. That isn't willing to cover.
Ooh-wee, man, this is good preaching.
And he said unto him, wait a second, son. You've always been with me. All that I have is thine. All you had to say is, hey, Dad, I want to bring my friends over. Can we kill one of them big old hogs out there? Oh, well, maybe calf. Yeah.
Thank the Lord I'm on this side. You know what?
Said, hey, Daddy, can we kill that hog? Can we kill that calf? Can we have a party? Absolutely, son, whatever you want. Go pick out whatever you want and bring all of your friends. Absolutely. You could have done anything you wanted. It was all right here at your fingertips. All you had to do was ask me. How often is it right at your fingertips and you never ask? But then when somebody comes in, and they are basking in the presence of God, and they're enjoying God's mercy and God's grace and God's restoration here over there. Man, I stuck it out all this time. And they act like make such a big deal about him.
You
better watch out.
Yeah.
You better watch out.
Yeah.
His dad tries to turn it again and says, your brother was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. I'll tell you, compassion will go far beyond some of the negative things that crop up in us. There was compassion of the father, but utter disdain of the brother. In your own life, aren't you glad you encountered the pity of the father before you encountered the disgust of the angry brother? Yeah. There's some that when I see a backslider come in, I'm going to be one. I'm not going to sit back. I'm going to go hug them. I'm going to go greet them. I'm going to go tell them how glad I am to see them. I want to be the first thing that they hear. And Brandy was back there, and I saw her. I went right back. Even though worship service was going, I went right back, and I shook her hand and talked to her for a little bit. So good to see you. You know why? I want her to hear my voice first. Because I know that there's some older brother attitudes that we got to get rid of. Got to preach some more compassion in the father's house. So big brother gets the compassion.
Right.
Don't need that.
Amen.
I want to make sure that. And then I saw my wife over there while she was praying, just praying with her and loving her. She invited her to come to the altar. You know what? They don't always have to come to the altar.
Right.
Don't force them. I'm going to tell you what I did to Country the other day. Some of y'all don't know this. I'm going to tell you. And Country came and he was crying and everybody was praying with him and everything. I went back to him. I said, son, are you ready? I said, I'm not going to put no pressure on you. I'm not going to take a lot of time to pray with you if you're not quite ready. Well, if you're ready, I'm ready to go all the way with you. Do everything that it takes to help you break through. But if you're not ready, that's okay. I'm okay with that too. I'm not going to force you.
Right.
I'm not going to force you. Because here's the deal. If it's forced, we do no good.
Right.
They don't want to be back.
Right.
But when they're ready to be back, and that's what I want them to know. When you're ready to be back, I want to. This is where it's at. This is where it's happening. This is where we're partying. I said, this is where we're partying. This is where we're having joy. This is where we're having peace. This is this is where grace and mercy is. This is where long suffering is. This is where the miracle of God happens.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
What would have happened? Can you imagine? Let's just think for just a second. What would have happened if it would have been the elder brother that would have saw him first? Can you imagine, Brother Carlos? Can you imagine what would have happened? Do you think that he would have went ahead and come home?
No.
And you know why some are not back today? It's because of some of you.
Wow.
Because you've had the elder brother mentality. And you've treated them with disdain while they're out. So they met the older brother, but they didn't have an opportunity to meet Daddy because they met you first.
Right.
I don't care how many times they fail.
That's right.
I don't care how many times they mess up.
Yeah.
Right.
How many times you messed up?
Right.
How many times did you mess up and nobody found out about it?
Right.
Nobody knew. Right. You were able to take it to God and keep it your little secret with your God, nobody else.
Right.
That's good.
Right.
Just because yours wasn't found out doesn't mean you is all perfect.
Right.
You ain't all good. I'm not all good.
Right.
Man, I gotta find myself every day. God, I gotta have your mercy.
Yes.
I gotta have your grace. Please, God, be compassionate with me. Be long-suffering with me.
Yeah.
Let me say this. Don't ever forget the Bible said that whatever measure you judge, it shall be meted unto you again.
Amen.
Go ahead and act all crazy. But just remember, when you fall, don't be surprised if it don't come out and everybody hears. And everybody sees. And everybody knows. And you're going to feel horrible.
Amen.
And it will be simply because of your lack of mercy. Right. Your lack of compassion.
Help us, Pastor.
You get judgmental on it, and you will be judged with it. It's God's law.
Right. Amen. That's right.
And I see it over and over and over again. We preach it over and over again. We talk about it over and over again. And we still say stupid things. Man, there's sometimes I still say stupid things. I go, oh, God, forgive me. I got to stop that one right now. The problem is when some people go, it's true. And then you feel remorse about 2 weeks later. I think there's a little bit of difference there. Oh, God, forgive me. True. They are this. They are that.
Wow. Yeah.
And then you get thinking about it because something comes your way and you go, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Well, maybe you should have thought of that like as soon as it came out of your mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's good.
Man,
this is good stuff.
Yes, it is. It's going to bring revival.
Don't judge without righteous judgment. That's the thing. Let's have righteous judgment. You're going to have judgment. You're going to make judgments. Well, make sure it's righteous judgment. What do I got to compare it with? It's not this little fancy cliche, what would Jesus do? But it is truly. How would he treat this? How would he treat this frailty in this human?
Yes.
How would Jesus treat the frailty of this man right here on this front bench? That's how I need to treat him. Oh yeah, I see his flaws. I see his inadequacies. I see his mistakes. But how would Jesus treat him? Right. You know what? Jesus is going to keep on loving him and keep on working with him and keep on whispering to him, hey,
you need to work on this.
Yeah, that's God.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he gets down on his knees and God help me. And he goes, right here. This one, right there.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh God. Oh God.
Yeah.
That's the way Jesus would do it.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to tell you what, Jesus can work on us a whole lot better than any of us can work on each other.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
Let me go one place. Oh man, it's getting time. It's already time.
Preach.
It's already time. The one wants to reconcile, the other one wants to separate. What a horrible, horrible tragedy. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12 said, Put on then, as God's chosen ones. There's something you got to put on. You got to get a garment on. Put on as God's chosen one. Here's a garment. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Put on compassionate hearts. Put on compassion. Put on forgiveness or kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on patience. Put on bearing one another's burdens. Put on forgiving one another. But don't just forgive them. Do it like Jesus does. You see, we can forgive, but then we talk about it somewhere else. Say, oh no, I forgive them. Then why'd you bring it up? Why'd you bring it up?
Yes, sir.
You forgave him? Why'd you bring it up?
Amen.
Well, no, I really did. It's just to justify.
Yes. Right. There you go.
Right.
Right. It's just that you're justifying just nothing. I can't do that. We can't do that. If we're going to be more like Him, I got to put this garment on, and I got to put on compassion, and I got to put on kindness. Use Him for any purpose other than just to get that illustration across. That some of us, kindness doesn't fit us.
Right.
Oh my. Wow. That's good. That's good.
Compassion don't fit us.
Jesus.
Mercy and meekness and kindness, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven us. It ain't fitting us very well. But, Uncle Joe, you know I'm not doing this in any way, shape, or form against you, but it just so happens to work. So try to reach. You don't like my reach. You never like my reach. But you know what? The only way He can fit this is if He loses some of Himself. Now, I'm not degrading in any way, shape, or form. You understand what I'm saying?
Right,
yes.
And the only reason why I'm using that as an example, because that's the truth of the matter. The only thing, what I probably should have done is use Jace's jacket on me. That would have been better. Okay? That's what I should have done. I didn't think of it until now. But you understand, you I'd have to lose a lot of myself. Come here. Give me that jacket. You're going to have to buy a new jacket after this. Or your dad is. I'd have to lose a lot of myself.
Yeah.
That's a great example, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd have to lose a lot, and the point is I'd have to lose a lot of myself to get into this garment of mercy, of compassion, of kindness. I'd have to lose, we got to lose a lot of ourselves in order to, oh my Lord.
Thanks for turning around.
Help me. Help me.
Oh man, I can't get my hand out of here.
You need to grow up, son. We got to get rid of some of ourselves if we're going to put on the garment that Jesus has intended us to wear.
Right. Amen.
You got to get rid of yourself. You can't be self-righteous. You can't be self-centered. You can't put on a garment of compassion if you don't get rid of some of yourself.
Right.
All right, let's quit. The seeds of compassion are in us. Right? Because we're made in His likeness, number one. Number two, you're filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, so you have Jesus on the inside.
Right.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost, today's a good day for you to get the Holy Ghost, and you can.
Right.
Because it's for you, for your children, for everybody, for as many as the Lord our God shall call. God wants to fill everybody with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right? The seed of compassion is in us, bearing witness that we are the children of God.
But my question is for us to ask ourselves individually, is am I full of compassion? Have I nurtured the seed of compassion that is in me? It is there. But have I nurtured it? Have I allowed it to grow? Can I use this term? Have I allowed it to mature? Have I allowed it to flourish in my life to where it makes a difference? And that's my last scripture. Jude 22. And some have compassion making a difference. Others saved with fear. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about the salvation of a soul. Because the very next verse says, others saving with fear. In other words, compassion will make a difference and save people.
Yeah.
Because there's another part that says some are saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. It's going to take compassion even to pull somebody out of the fire. Pulling, 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 pulling. Oh, I want to read that.
Just came back to me. Sorry.
Pulling. To catch, to take by force, to claim for oneself. To snatch away. Pulling them out of the fire. You're taking or claiming them for yourself. Pulling them.
Oh, man. Why did I say I was going to quit?
Don't quit.
Reach.
I said I was going to quit. Some of y'all are leaving me. But at the same time, some having compassion, making a difference. Others pulling them out of the fire, snatching them, claiming them for your own. What do the scriptures say? The gates of hell shall not
prevail.
It won't prevail.
Your compassion, hell cannot compete against your compassion.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
That's good.
Okay, so stand.
Since that wasn't very good. Hell cannot stop your compassion. It will reach through the flames of hell to that one that's messed up. It's dirty, filthy. All the things that are wrong with them, your compassion can reach through that. It is compassion that makes a difference. Now, I don't know. To a degree, it's convicting, it's thought-provoking. And quite honestly, I think we need to pray over it. The word of the Lord has gone forth. It's like a seed, and it's planted on each one of your hearts. And depending on how you nurture the seed will depend on how successful the growth, the maturity of the said seed. I didn't plant any seed that was bad seed. I planted good seed. And I pray that the seed gets watered. But you got to do the watering through prayer. You got to be able to say, God, I need this. I need some help in this area. I need to be more compassionate towards others. I had a friend tell me, compassion starts with those that you don't know
those that you have just met and those that are opposed to you. And the purpose and the reason being is because if I have compassion on Brother Miles, he's going to have compassion on me. So what good is there? If I love knowing he's going to love me back,
okay.
So really, compassion has more to do. Now, don't get me wrong. You still need to have it amongst us. Don't get me wrong. But compassion really does have to do with seeing somebody that can't give back to me.
Right.
Can't do nothing for me. Can't help me in any way. Compassion has a lot to do with that. Lord, help us right now. Pray for the word. The word has free course in our life, in our mind. Help me to grow in your word. I don't want to take it for granted. I want to grow thereby. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Help me, God. As I go along this journey with somebody, pray right now. I know several things are not quite the way they always are for an altar call. Let's get beyond that. Aren't we mature enough here to not have to worry about that and just begin to pray? Talk to the Lord right now. God, help me. Will you be sincere this morning and ask the Lord to help you in this area? There's many of us that I know, it's hard. It's hard to swallow. It's hard to act upon. It's hard to live by. But, oh, God, I want to be saved. If this is one of those things, God, that you're going to separate the sheep from the goats, God, help me, Lord. I want to do it your way. When I see somebody hunger, I want to feed them. Thirsty, I want to give them drink. Naked, I want to clothe them. Stranger, I want to befriend them. In prison, I want to visit them. Widowless, fatherless. God, help us to see the needs of humanity and be moved with compassion upon their needs. God, not to justify myself, not to justify myself in my own doing, in my own way. God, help me, Jesus. Come on, pray it in your own words. Don't use mine necessarily. Pray it in your own words. Ask God to help you. Ask God to give you direction. You know, I feel right now that there's some of you that you have somebody in your mind right now that you haven't been compassionate with, that you haven't judged wrongfully, that you need to make some things right. You need to go and take care of that. There's some attitudes that need to be dealt with in your world. Will you deal with them today? Will you deal with them today? Will you take care of them today? Will you ask God today for forgiveness? Will you ask God today, God, forgive me of my attitude. Forgive me of my bad spirit, God. Forgive me of those things that I've said, God. I want you to wash me. I want you to cleanse me. I want to be made whole. I want to be pure before you, God. In my thoughts, God. In my actions. Forgive me, dear God. Forgive me. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me whole. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, I worship you.
Oh, God, touch my mind. Touch my spirit, Lord. I want to be more like you.
Hallelujah.
Give me a follow after you. Follow after you in truth and righteousness. Oh, Jesus, see it through your eyes.
Give
me your understanding, Lord. Open my eyes, open my understanding. Lead me in the way of life everlasting, God. Lead me in the way of life everlasting. Oh, Jesus. whether within or without, God, may we be compassionate. God, may we be compassionate. Oh, and to suffer. Oh, God, do as the scripture said. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help us today, Jesus. Help us today, Jesus. Help us today.